You know, there's three things that I was told, and I've been told ever since I started speaking to you folks. Never apologize. That was the first thing, and it's been imposed upon me, as she'll put it, many times. Never apologize. Never take things out of context. Context, context, context. I'm sure y'all have heard that before. And last, don't make things theatrical. Well, I'm here today to tell you I apologize for taking things out of context and making them theatrical. It's the only way that I know. When God gives me a message, He gives me a message. He doesn't say, take it into context. He says, write this down. And I know that some of you know what I'm talking about. Let us bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, to learn about your message, to learn what you have in store for us today, to be able to take to others, but most of all, Lord, to ponder in our hearts that we know that we serve an awesome God. Father, we can't thank you enough for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. Father, as we open your word today, may we open the light that shines in the throne room where you sit, Lord, that you may completely reveal your word to us, and there be no doubt that it comes from you. Father, I know that I'm going to say some things today that may not sit well with some people. It was confusing to me to write them, and Lord, I know that the reason that I do this is because you want them to make a deeper study of what you're wanting them to learn. Not to take my word for it, Lord, but to take yours and go further and deeper into your word. And Father, may that wish be made today, and may it be answered today. And we praise you and guide you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see if we can get this working. Well, we'll see if we can't get working on this. Slideshow. I promise you I won't mess much longer with this. Today, we're going to look at things called mysteries of the Bible. There is no way in the world that I can tell you what all the mysteries of the Bible are. First, before we look at mysteries of the Bible, we have to know, are there mysteries in the Bible? What does God's Word say about it? First of all, we'll look at one mystery. How did Methuselah, the oldest man that ever lived, die? Maybe you can ask it in your heart, do you know how Methuselah died? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, or does it? More on Methuselah later. Number one, we look at, are there mysteries in the Bible? Question. If yes, how do we know they are? Question. Two, doesn't God's holy word tell us that he has told us all things? Question. Three, can Holy Scriptures be disclosed to some people but remain a mystery to others? Question. Number one, are the mysteries in the Bible? To answer this question, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 5:32. That's Ephesians 5:32. I know that sometimes I get in a hurry and I don't give people time to get there to their Bibles, and the reason I do this is not because I don't want you to follow along with me. It's a lot of times, most of the time, I try to put these up on the slide for you to see, and you don't have to turn your Bibles, but a lot of people, I know I like to. I like to turn my Bible. I like to make sure that what that man up there is telling me is true. Ephesians 5:32, and it says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians 5:32 in the King James Version, mystery of the gospel. So right there, it tells us there is a mystery of the gospel. Mystery is written 22 times in the King James Version Bible. Jesus himself told us that parables are mysteries. So the answer is yes, there are mysteries in the Bible. I think we all probably knew this, but some mysteries are made to be opened, and some mysteries are made for not to be opened or revealed until we get to heaven. I believe that. And some mysteries are revealed to some people, but not to others. For instance, let's look at King Nebuchadnezzar. He ate grass. Daniel 4:33 says, that same hour the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. Now that's a mystery, how a man can eat grass and stay alive. But God says he did it. And here's another one. Now the Lord opened the mouth of a donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you struck me these three times? Question in Numbers 22:28. God let the donkey talk, to make Balaam understand. Doesn't it seem it should have been the other way around? The donkey ate grass and the people talked. Prophet talked. Of course, sometimes even prophets and kings kind of act like donkeys. We do too. I know I have on many occasions. Can a person die before their time? Question. What does the Bible say? Question. To everything there is a season, and every time to purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted in Ecclesiastes 3:1-10. Now, I've taken that out of context, but it says there is a time to live and a time to die, a time to be born and a time to die. However, God does make exceptions. Don't be overly wicked nor be foolish, God says in Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldst thou die before that time? Question. If you walk into a bank, guns blazing, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to die before your time if it wouldn't. And there's many other things that you can do, is step out in front of a train or whatever. You can do this, but God doesn't want you to die before your time, because we all have a purpose. And that is to tell people about Jesus Christ, what God has sent his son to do on the cross for us. It is our message, and it is also our passion, supposedly. Excuse me. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his ancestors. Here's a mystery to me. King Asa was a good man. He was a good king. He responded to God's word all of his life. And yet, where he needs him most, there for several years he was afflicted in the 39th year of his reign, and he died in the 41st year. He did not call on God to fix his feet, and he died. God said all King Asa had to do was humble himself and ask God to heal him. Pride kills. Pride kills Satan. It put him on death row, and God's just waiting to finish the job. His sentence has already been set. It just has to be carried out. We looked at the Bible, some things that were mysteries, and we've seen some of the mysteries that were solved there. But there's also mysteries that's in the Bible, that we can look at the Bible and we can look at mankind, human today, scientists and these other excavators that go out and dig up these archaeologists that dig up these bones and things, and we can confirm that the Bible is truth. 2 Chronicles 26:21 says King Uzziah, had leprosy because he burned incense on the altar of God. The Uzziah tablet was discovered in 1931 Jerusalem by Professor E.L. Sutnick of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He noticed an artifact at a Russian covenant located on the Mount of Olives. The inscription on the tablet is translated, "Hither we brought the bones of Uzziah, king of Judah, not to be opened." So it proves, history, mankind proves that the Bible is correct, although we know that. But there's people out there in this world who don't correlate the truth with the today's history or today's current events. It grieved him at his heart in Genesis 6:13-6, such a violent behavior inevitably results in sorrow, suffering, and death. Practiced on a large scale, violent lifestyles must have been condemned many people to unhappy lives from childhood on up. As a consequence, the Lord said that man's lifespan would be diminished. Since the last of the patriarchs died, few people in all the recorded history have exceeded 120 years of life. Ellen White writes, "Looking upon the world, God saw that the intellect he had given man was perverted. God had given these men knowledge. He had given them valuable ideas that they might carry out his plan. But the Lord saw that those whom he designed should possess wisdom, fact, and judgment were using every quality of the mind to glorify self. By the waters of the flood, he blotted this long-lived race from the earth, and with them perished the knowledge they had used only for evil." The SDA Bible Commentary, Ellen G. White, on page 1089. Even Ellen White says that God had to come and destroy the earth with the flood. It was so perverted. Are we not getting in the same shape today? Is our earth not so perverted and so out of focus with God's word that I don't see how God has the patience to live with us like we are going? And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years in Genesis 6:3. Ellen White writes that it was 120 years after the flood that the statement with the flood came. God did not say that this only applies to the flood. How many people do you know that have lived over 120 years today? Question. We have already seen that God does make exceptions. So there's people that you'll find. And today, I think there's one person lived 121 years today. I'm not sure about that. I shouldn't make that statement, not knowing for sure, but I believe there is. After all, he did add 15 years to Hezekiah's life in 2 Kings 26. 2 Kings 20, in those days, Hezekiah was, 21st, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." This is 20 verse 2, I'm sorry. Never apologize, remember. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, that captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord." and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. Any of y'all have a lump of figs? You might want to try this. God says that there's healing powers in the seeds and flowers and herbs that we have. This here was Hezekiah's healing power. Of course, God's the one that does the healing. And they took and laid it on the wall, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign of the Lord will heal me? Come on now. If you're alive the next day, I think you've proved that the Lord had kept his word, don't you? But anyway, this is what Hezekiah said. He says, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? Question. And Isaiah said, thou shalt have a sign of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Now we go back to history again, and history tells us that there was a time in the past in which the time did go back. I can't quote that for right now, but I remember studying it in school. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. But let thy shadow return backward 10 degrees. It's a light thing. It is a light thing for the Lord. Amen. But it's also a light thing for the Lord to make it go back 10 degrees. But he wants it to go back. Hezekiah was sort of right. It is easier for the shadow to go forward 10 degrees than it is to go backwards 10 degrees. With God, nothing is impossible. Ellen White writes, of course, we know that. Nothing is impossible. God's holy word tells us. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And at that time, and forgive me for not saying this word, I'll let y'all try to pronounce it, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of all his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ornament and all the house of his armor and all that he was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in his domain that Hezekiah showed them not. Now this is stupid. You know, it says, why should you be foolish and die before your time? Well, if Hezekiah, this wasn't stupid, you know, I don't know what is. Because you're showing somebody, if you're at war, you could be at war with a nation, you don't show them all your vulnerabilities. You don't show them what you have to fight with or what you have left. But anyway, Hezekiah did this. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said to him, what said these men? Question. And whom whence they came unto thee? Question. And Hezekiah said, they come from a far country, even from Babylon. That's a real far country. And he said, what have thou seen in thine house? Question. And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and all that thy fathers have laid up to store unto this day shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now this includes the Lord's house too. As you remember, the Babylon carried off the Lord's things too, out of the Lord's house. It says, nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons thou shalt have issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. I used to have lots of respect for Hezekiah. I read his writings. I read about him. He was a good king. He had a few faults. But until he made this statement, I lost a lot of respect for him. He says, then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my day? Question. I would not want to give up my life for my son to be a eunuch. I couldn't do it. I couldn't say, well, Lord, give me life. Rather, I shouldn't say, Lord, give me life and make my son a eunuch. I couldn't do that. I'd have to say, Lord, it's my time now. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Question. And how Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. That's a mystery to me, how someone can do that. How someone can put their own self above their family. But many people do it. I guess, I don't know, maybe in the end times, if God said, I'm going to take your life for your families, I might do that, but I don't see that happening. Here's a mystery that many of you probably already seen, but I thought it was great. It is said that Psalm 118 is the middle of the chapter of the entire Bible. 2 Psalm 117. 2 Psalm 117 before Psalm 118 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 after Psalm 118 is the largest chapter in the Bible. The Bible has, forgive me, I still have a problem reading some things with my eyes. Y'all keep me in prayer about my eyes, that the Lord will heal them. The Bible has 594 chapters before Psalm 118, and 594 chapters after Psalm 18. If you add up the chapters except 118, you get a total of 1188 chapters. 1100 are Psalms 118, verse 8 is the middle verse of the entire Bible. Should be central verse, not have a fairly important message? Yes, it does. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, in Psalm 118:8. In this central verse, not also the central theme of the entire Bible, question, are a few legalists who look up Psalm 118 and find out there's 29 verses, perhaps verses 14 and 15 are the center of the Bible, in which it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the leads of the righteous. So it doesn't matter how you put it, the Lord's in the middle of the Bible. And we should respect that fact that the Lord is everywhere in the Bible. And if we want to study God's mysteries, we need to dig deeper in the Bible. Some of these things that I'm about to tell you may not be exactly correct in your mind. But we'll see. The mother of Moses was the aunt of his father, which was forbidden in the Mosaic law. In Exodus 6:20, isn't that strange? The mother of Moses. Now, if we go by the Bible and we look at this, in the Mosaic law, it says a person cannot marry their aunt or their uncle. They cannot marry their next of kin like that. I won't say uncle. I know it says aunt. But here, Moses did. And Moses is the one that wrote the law that says man cannot marry his aunt. So if one generation, if God had said one generation before, man should not marry his aunt, Moses probably would have never been born. To me, that's a mystery. A serpent was in the Garden of Eden, but a serpent was on the staff which was used by God to save the children of Israel when they received a snake bite and gazed upon it. This is true. I'm not going to go through this for the sake of time, but anyway, it tells you that the people, when they were bitten by these serpents that God put in the midst of them, that he had a serpent on a pole, and you had to look upon that serpent and you should be saved. But thousands of people died because they just did not heed the Lord. They did not humble themselves to be able to look upon a serpent. This is the one that gets interesting. Some of y'all are going to say, no. Who is buried in Abraham's tomb? Abraham bought this ground to bury his wife Sarah. Consider, however, who ends up buried in this tomb. Both Sarah, in Genesis 23:19, I'm quoting the Bible now, and Abraham himself in Genesis 25:9-10, and also Isaac's beloved wife Rebekah, Jacob, and Jacob's unloved wife Leah in Genesis 49:29-30, 49:31-32, and 50:12-13. Notice specifically that Rachel, the wife whom Jacob loved most, was not buried there in Genesis 35:19-20. Why wasn't Rachel buried there? To me, that was a mystery. It's still a mystery, you know. But Rachel wasn't buried there. Why not? Maybe because here's Rachel's tomb. That's a picture of Rachel's tomb. It sits off by itself, and it has many visitors every year. Let's look at this. Sarah was in there. Let's use S. Abraham, A. Jacob, no. Jacob wasn't buried there. Isaac was buried there, Rebekah was buried there, and Leah was buried there. Yes, Jacob was buried there, excuse me. But Jacob could also stand for Jesus, or better yet, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here we have these people that's buried there, and God with us. Let's rearrange them. I for Isaac, S for Sarah, R for Rebekah, A for Abraham, E for Emmanuel. We changed Jesus to Emmanuel. And L for Leah. If Rachel were buried there, it'd be too many R's in the tomb. It spells out Israel. Now that, to me, is a mystery. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Too far-fetched. Maybe. But it may remain a mystery until we get to heaven. I'm not saying believe what I say. I'm giving you the references in the Bible that tells you who was buried in the tomb. And who was not. Something else to think about. Tamar had twins, Perez and Zerah. While being born, Zerah extended his hand and the midwife tied a scarlet thread around his wrist, thinking he would be firstborn. His twin, Perez, was delivered first and is in Jesus' lineage. Isn't that strange? God said, no, wait a minute. He pulled the hand back and says, I want this man to be first, to get a double portion of the blessing. Two, didn't God's word tell us that he has told us all things? Yes, he did. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things in Mark 13:23. But remember, just because he told us all things, we can read the Bible. But unless we ask for wisdom, do we get all things? Maybe not. However, God said we must ask for wisdom in James 1:5. And didn't God tell us that he has told us all things? I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. In John 16:12. God says, we ask for wisdom, we'll get it. He promises that, but we may not get it in our time. There's some things that I've been asking for wisdom on, a few things in the Bible, and it just remains a mystery to me, and I don't understand. I said, God, show me the mystery of this. Show me, you know, give me the answer. And for some reason, God has withheld it, but that's fine. It keeps me searching through the Bible for these other things. Three, can Holy Scripture be disclosed to some people but remain a mystery to others? To answer this question, let's look at Mark 4:10-11. Mark 4:10-11. I have it on the screen. And when he, Jesus, was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Now, they that were about him, we don't know how many there were, but there was many people that followed Jesus everywhere. So we can assume there was quite a few that was around him. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So the ones that was around him, this most closest people, followers, he was telling the secrets to. But those that were about, those that probably just wanted something from Jesus, did not really want to follow him. A lot of them probably didn't. They didn't care about Jesus. They just wanted to be healed of their infirmities. Okay, what about Methuselah, the oldest man that ever lived, question? You said you might know how he died. Now, this is really going to get some people, I'm sure, but... Okay, but we first have to know how old Methuselah was when he died. So if we look in the Bible, in Genesis 5:27, says, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now let's look at the genealogy of Methuselah. Genealogy of Methuselah. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Lamech lived 182 years and got Noah. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. So 969 years. So Methuselah died the same year as the flood. It just could be that Methuselah drowned. This is one of the questions that I've asked God to give me the answer to for many years. I wanted to know. I thought, whenever I first learned about this, I thought, God, surely not. You wouldn't drown Methuselah. He was the oldest man alive. But remember, God says there's a time to live and a time to die. So Methuselah's time had come, undoubtedly. One last mystery. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-57, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You'll hear this in many funerals. O death, where is thy sting? Question. O grave, where is thy victory? Question. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. This last message I leave to you, this last verse. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Histories of the Holy Bible, mysteries of the Holy Bible, solved. Maybe. God bless you.
Shall we sing our closing song, number 34, Wake the Song?